T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. I'm your host, Jeffrey Wright. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial and you want to stay up to date with everything happening here at the station, you can download the Odyssey app, free to download, free to listen. We're also streaming live on iHeartRadio and the iHeartRadio app, as well as TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app. My producer, as always, is, of course, George Ruggiero. You can follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey. How's it going? Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. All Hallows Eve. Happy Nick Saban birthday.
Oh, it is, isn't
it? It's the most fitting birthday of all time.
That is so on the nose. It's not even funny.
So on brand. My company, as he is each and every Friday on the program, he is the Memphis Grizzlies beat writer for The Commercial Appeal. You can also hear him on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, where he is, of course, a co-host. Episodes available each and every weekday. Follow him on the Everything app at DeMichael C. DeMichael Cole, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey. How you doing?
I'm doing well. All right, you just sent me a Twitter note from the NBA. I guess we'll save that for the list because it appears Big Brother's watching. Although,
watching.
I'll say this. The NBA is just doing what apparently the NFL does, and they refuse to acknowledge it. So we'll tell you what that is.
That's definitely what that is.
Oh, yeah. 1,000. When you start to see, like, all of a sudden a flag gets picked up, and, like, they're holding their earpiece, it's like, oh, New York chimed in. Yes, they did, particularly if you're in a standalone game. Well, that's something we got coming up on the program. It, of course, is Friday, so we'll be saying, you know, we'll discuss what are we going to be talking about on Monday. Of course, we have the Grizzlies tonight. It's our first look at the Grizzlies on Prime Video. They will be the late game, 8:30. So I think, what did we find out? Who plays earlier? It's Philly and who's the early game?
The early game.
Have we found anything out, DeMichael? Because we're in the same boat on this.
I think it's the same hold length. I'm not saying.
Yeah, it's Philly and Boston.
Philly and Boston.
That's the 6 o'clock game. Oh, that's a tight window.
I believe.
Yeah, it is.
I believe they can hold it 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
That's what I think. Now, obviously,
does that 15, though, include the normal 12 that it's always delayed?
Well, that's no. That's the question for me is, I thought it's 7 minutes. I thought, like, if they, quote unquote, if the game starts at 7, I thought we tip at 7:07.
Usually, but you have some that go back to, like, 12 to 15.
So
I book in an extra 5.
Yeah. That's the real question. Can they hold it another, is it 15 minutes from 7:07, or is it 15 minutes from?
Usually it's like 7:12, so it's like an extra 5 on top of the 7 minutes.
So we'll find out. I think what's going to happen is the Grizzlies are going to tip off on an Amazon Prime, or excuse me, a Prime Video. Excuse me, Mr. Bezos, I apologize.
There you go.
They will tip it off on one of the streaming channels at like 8, I think I'll call 8:42. I think I'll go with that.
There's not a time that you could say that would get me super amped for a late Central Time tip-off, but...
But it would be a win compared to what we used to have on TNT, yeah, I'll tell you that
would,
much.
It would be a win to 9 o'clock. It would be a win to 9 o'clock. Those 30 minutes do make a world of a difference.
I will say at least the 8:30 tip is on a Friday.
It is on a Friday. I mean, it's Halloween, but it
there's
is on a
nothing
Friday.
Worse yeah. than the midweek. Because then you're basically at the same thing as a West Coast game.
Yeah, you're crawling.
And I don't know about y'all. I mean, obviously, DeMichael, you have to work. Mm-hmm. I was not in West Coast time shape. Like, especially like when you get just a dogged weekend of just sitting on the couch and watching football for like 24 or 36 consecutive hours, and then you have to turn right around and do it again. Like,
you know, the hardest part for me was when we go out west for 4-game, 5-game road trips, and then I come back, and it's like 2 a.m, and I'm just like, I feel like I should do jumping jacks or something. Like,
west to east on your body is always the toughest.
It's brutal.
Now, east to west, not that bad. Like, if you'll ever do the Europe trip, you come back, and it's the most productive you'll ever be for about a week.
Yeah.
Like, you're popping up at 5:30. Yep. Like, you're ready to go.
Yeah.
But then, you know, if you do the other way, it's like, it just takes, like, you're just miserable.
There's a number on me, man.
Hey, somehow I was able to, like, stay up the last time I went to Europe, and it made me feel like, the fact that I didn't feel jet lagged for, like, 4 days was... was a minor win. All right, do we know which broadcasters do we have from?
It's Grady and Brent Berry.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, so we have the 8:30. You're going to be able to watch on a Prime Video stream.
Yep.
They're going to pop up an icon. And I'll say, of the apps that we've had to buy to be sports fans, Prime Video offends me the least. I feel like it's pretty consistent.
Yeah.
Like, and now, granted,
I like the studio. Like, the group in the studio. Studio's like, very... They seemed pretty...
And I think the setup looks good.
Uh-huh, yeah, like the setup was good. Yep.
It turns out if you have Amazon money, you can make it look good.
You can do that.
Like, they're not really pinching pennies, so we'll have that. It's obviously the cup game. Mm-hmm. Do we have a new cup floor?
Yeah. Yeah, it's similar, but, it, you know, they put a little twist to it.
Are they just repainting it? What's happening? Are we really getting brand new floors? Are we really spending $1 million every year to get a brand new cup floor?
I don't think it's.
Hopefully, they're just painting.
I don't think it's that serious.
Because the design looked pretty similar to the last one, right?
It did. Yeah.
Like, I just felt like the trophy looked different.
Yeah, the trophy is definitely different, and there's a couple little twists. But yeah.
I have a cup question for y'all.
Uh-huh.
How do we feel about the cup trophy being so much bigger than the actual championship trophy? These are the important questions.
These are the important questions, huh?
That is a good...
I mean...
I don't even think I real...
It's you, like, you have did? You ever seen... I, yeah, like, the yeah. guys, when they have it, like...
It's
They end
it's
up
big.
Passing it off because, like, their arm... You can see their arm gets tired from holding it.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where you notice it, but then, like... It's like a... You know the Larry O.B. is more important at the end of the day, and you know the history of the Larry O.B., so it's like...
Yeah, but they screw with that one too.
Remember,
what was it 3 years ago when we had to watch like a seven minute PR video about coming up with a new trophy, like a new design of it? It's like, oh my god, this is jumping the shark.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, honestly, and this could probably be a hot take in a way. I like the old, like going to college football, the BCS crystal ball.
Oh, the crystal ball is the best.
It's
and then
the best,
you get
right?
the story of like a recruit or somebody dropping the crystal ball and it being like. That cost them $60,000, and then whether or not they had it insured. Like, I totally agree. The BCS trophy, because it also was like the base of that trophy was like as big as
it's
I am.
Big, it's huge, and then it's this ball. You just
I agree. I like that. I also just don't like the beer tap or whatever we have now. Like literally the CFP trophy looks like a beer tap or like
beer tap.
Or like when you put it on the base, it looks like nail polish. Like I'm out on it. I agree. Bring back the BCS era trophy.
Yeah, that's the best one.
I can say bring back the BCS. all right. So we'll talk about that. Then Blake Topmeyer is going to join us during the next segment. We'll get his thoughts on everything that has been happening down in Baton Rouge. And my, has there been a lot?
Ooh-wee.
Also, decent weekend of SEC football. We'll talk about it with him. We'll get into the list. If you got YouTube TV, This could be a tough weekend for you.
Yeah.
If you are,
I want to call in, phone in a friend.
Yeah.
Phone in a friend time.
Fire up the app.
Yeah. Or, yeah, you are going to be asking for some passwords.
And oh, yeah.
Hey, you using your app this weekend?
You want some company? I'll bring something.
I could be popular this weekend with my DirecTV logins
because
I'll be watching on actual DirecTV. So we'll talk about that. We'll pick our games of the weekend, and then we'll tell your story and get out of here. But let's start with the Grizzlies. So we got the Lakers tonight.
Yep.
And DeMichael, correct me if I'm wrong.
Uh-huh.
When the road trip began for the Lakers, Luka Doncic was not on it.
Not on the road trip.
But he is playing tonight.
Voila. Happy Halloween, Grizzlies. Luka's back.
Is the line still 5.5?
Ah, I bet you it's moved. I haven't looked. But he was at shoot-around, and he's now probable. So he was questionable.
So he was questionable.
And now he's probable as of.
And he got hurt, was it last Friday? So literally a week.
No, it's been less than a week. Because I remember if you.
Oh, yeah. Was it Monday night maybe?
Whatever day it was, today's Thursday. It might have been Friday because that's it would have had to be Saturday or Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought they were saying like he'd be a couple of weeks.
He'd be reevaluated in a week. But then a couple
you
of days.
You nailed it. The line did not move a couple of points.
Oh, it moved, huh? It danced.
All right, so I'm giving y'all the spoiler. When I looked this morning, the Grizzlies were 5-point favorites.
All right.
Does anyone care to guess what the line is right now?
I'm going to say, let's see, it's in, let's say 2.5. No.
Grizzlies 1.5?
No. I'm going to say Lakers 2.5.
You're pretty damn close. Lakers 2. So 7 points.
Wow.
That's a
swing.
That's a Luka swing.
Now, obviously, it's not just Luka's worth this much. I think a big part of it is it's not just Luka's worth that much. It's that the replacement of Luka would be worth that little.
Yeah.
So you go from, I mean, Bronny was playing in a game that I was watching and it wasn't mop-up duty.
And they get Marcus Smart back too. So
they get Smart back. Yeah. And I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, I think this is the interesting question. Mm-hmm. So obviously we know with no LeBron, but what do you think they're going to do? How do you think they're going? Who is going to get the Luka assignment?
Jalen Wells is going to get it at the start.
Okay.
And this is a big moment for Jalen Wells. This is one of those things people are just going to probably look past it. But when you look a step further, and here's what we know. Last year, you go back to that first Grizzlies-Dallas Mavs game. Jalen Wells got abused in that matchup against Luka. It was bad. Like,
wasn't that also a cup game?
I want to say it was. It was
pretty sure that was a cup game.
Yeah, it was early. It was a game where he picked up quick fouls and like it was bad. But that game in particular, and there were a couple more players that you can throw into the equation. Like that game kind of set the tone from Jalen Wells' perspective of I got to get bigger, I got to get stronger. Everyone notices it now. Jalen Wells gained about 15 pounds, and it's for these. This is what it was for. Like, he was a good defender last season, but he was better against the point guards, right?
The guys that could body him, the guys when it just literally just became bully ball,
yep,
it was tough. But I want to be very clear. He was a rookie playing against grown men, drawing the toughest assignment night in, night out.
Yeah. So this is the assignment that he put on the weight for and kind of prepared for throughout the offseason. So I'm excited to see that. But Cedric Cowell's going to get some, too.
Well, that was kind of the other question is, like, one thing I do think is an actual development. I feel like to Omos, more so than whether it was a Jenkins problem, whether it was coordination with upstairs and Jenkins, the thing that I have found myself liking the most about to Omos is it doesn't really matter what the quote unquote plan is.
Yeah.
If he sees it's not working,
scrap it in.
All right, done. And here's the guys I'm playing tonight because my biggest annoyance the last couple of years was
by the book.
It wasn't even by the book. I just didn't feel like there was the emphasis on winning. The emphasis was on development
those were buzzwords.
Or figuring it out. And it's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, win the game. Yeah. Like that's and I think that's what got them in trouble. Whereas I'm not saying that development should be a nothing burger and you should never consider it. That's obviously that's dumb. But I'm talking about in the context of let's stay in the lab in this game. It's like, no, win the game.
For sure. And you put yourself in that situation when you trade, De'Anthony Melton, and you have Kyle Anderson, and you say, instead of returning Kyle, we're going to go in the direction of Santi Aldama. And, you know, you put yourself in that situation basically when you go younger, because now you, if you want to be the same competitive team, you need them to be really good. So
right. You
need that development. So it's one of those kind of self-inflicted things too. But yeah, Cedric Coward, though, he looks the part.
Yeah, I mean, I think
he looks the part.
I think to me the three positives from the start of the season.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I have four, and see if you agree with these. Okay. All right. Number one, Ja. And more importantly, kind of in the service of winning, like, hey man, I'm sure he doesn't feel great. Like, I'm sure after night
he's
one,
played six straight.
I'm sure the ankle didn't feel great, but I mentioned this on the show. Oftentimes in media day, when you hear a talking point, I can kind of just treat it as something I'm not really paying that much attention to it.
Yeah.
And you pointed out that, hey, he said in media day, a big part of it for this, one of the big goals of this season is I want to play more. I want to be available more.
Yep.
And I think so far through six games, I'm like, I believe him because that's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
Turns his ankle night one.
Yeah.
Honestly, I expected at most he would have played one of the two games last weekend, plays them all, and here we are. So I think, number one, that's my biggest development because I think part of the reason they're also 3-2 is the fact that he's been on the floor.
Yeah, I don't think – I don't remember off the top of my head, but I know at least until like February or March last year, Ja Morant didn't play more than five consecutive games.
Yeah.
He may have –
Mark used to have a big stat on that.
He might not have done it the entire season, but I know for sure it wasn't until because we were still tracking it towards the end of the season.
All right, I've got the game logs pulled up.
Okay,
all right, so he played five consecutive games from the November 29th through December 7th. Then he played five straight in February.
Yeah.
And then the longest stretch before that was, after that.
He never got the six.
There was a six-game stretch in March.
There it is. That's the
like,
one.
Yeah. And then after that, never.
Yeah.
So this is the first time he's played six straight games since last March. And I think if you would have gone back to the previous season, like it was almost like 2 years.
Yeah, he only played nine games
You
know, the year before that. And he missed one in there because he was sick. So, yeah.
So I think that, to me, is number one development.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I think it has to be the fact that, again, you're not trying to put too much on it, but the fact that you watch Cedric Coward right now and you can reasonably believe, man, they hit on a draft pick.
Yeah.
In a way that they haven't. Like, it's not just, okay, they've hit on draft picks, like, obviously, but Coward's at a position that they've never really had a guy that is truly, like, the type of NBA wing that everybody wants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it does feel
the
like
the one they tried to trade for the last 3 years.
Correct. There and then is. I think the other thing with Coward is, you know, I get it. It's partly because of number of guys available. But the fact that Tuomas in game five basically was like, we're finishing the game with this guy.
Yeah.
I think that bodes really well.
28 minutes. Yeah. Like, and, you know, it's one of those things, like I always say sometimes to me, people get too kind of fixated on, oh, is this guy starting or is this guy coming off the bench? Now, right now, it's a little bit more of a relevant thing because the Grizzlies are getting off to these slow starts. But overall, if I'm looking at the stat sheet and I see Cedric Coward playing 28 minutes, and I think in the last game, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope played 19.
Yep.
So it's like, I mean, he's essentially playing starters' minutes.
Correct.
If he's starting, that's where he'd be.
And obviously that was, to my third point, like, I have been very pleased with Isolo from the sense of, I am glad to get back to, it feels like with him, and again, I don't know if this is an organizational thing, because I liked Taylor Jenkins. I thought Taylor did a good job.
Yeah.
But there seems to be more of an importance on, what do we have to do tonight to win this game?
Night-to-night adjustments instead of, this is our group and
correct,
this is who we're going to play, this is how we're going to do it.
Correct. Or these guys play with these guys. Like, how, like, it's. I don't care. Like, how do we win this game?
Yeah.
And there seems
We saw it in the first game of the season. To your point, Santi, and we asked this in the preseason, will Santi play any minutes at the five? They were like, nope. Santi was like, I haven't even practiced at the five. Didn't practice a minute at the
five. Well, buddy, we got foul trouble.
First game of the season.
Get your ass in the block.
PJ Hall, stay over there.
Yeah.
Santi, get in there, go play the five.
Yeah. And again, good luck. Like, we're wishing you well. And then honestly, the fourth thing for me is, I know we can, my whole deal is like, I'm not treating the Grizzlies 3-2 the same as like the rest of the league. But the way that I look at it is, given the limited people that they have available, we're not that far removed from this team being 1-4. Mm-hmm. And my whole deal is like, I'm not sitting there going, oh, they're above 500, whatnot. But the fact that they're not just digging a hole.
Yeah.
Because once the reinforcements do come in, now you're not having to sit there and just go on this massive run to even get back into it. I think that they're actually doing what I was hopeful for, which is just stay above water.
Stay above water. Yep.
And when the reinforcements come, then you can hit the ground running. But like to me, like those have been the four biggest positives I've seen so far.
Yeah, that's a great point. I tell you what, that last point that you just made, a week from now, that will be the point. Like if they can continue to do that with Houston, Dallas, and OKC coming next week, yeah, that staying above water will definitely be the point. But yeah, I agree with the point on Ja Morant.
Like, I mean, they gave the Suns their first home loss of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if people know that. The Suns were undefeated at home until the Grizzlies came in town.
Yeah. So I agree with all of those, you know. And I think as going back to Cedric Coward, you know, the one thing that stands out to me is you're seeing him play well. But the big positive that I take from it is you can still – there are obviously so many areas where he can continue to grow.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think the bigger thing is – and it's not fair to – like, but it's like
– I mean, hey, it's the situation.
But it's like, you know, think about when Zaire was out there as a rookie.
Yep.
It's like unless it could be a lob at the rim.
It was basically don't mess things up.
Correct.
That's how it always has been with most of these guys. Just don't mess things up. With him, it's you
he's
make
making
us
plays.
Better.
Like, on top of, like, you know, it's the D'Anthony Melton. Like, when he's on the floor on defense, things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I don't want to act like they're a good rebounding team.
They're not.
But it's not as bad as I thought in the preseason.
Mm-hmm. It was bad.
I was like, this. Well, and I just thought, I was like, because that was an expectation I had coming into the season. Like, until Edie gets back, they're not going to rebound that well.
Yeah.
I think they've actually adequately done, given who they have on the floor, I think they've been okay.
They have. And I will say this, though, not to be like the devil's advocate, but just the realism to me of the situation. Like, when I looked at the schedule and you saw the opponents at the beginning of the season, it was an opportunity. The Pelicans, no one's scared of their interior. Like, they just brought in DeAndre Jordan and said, hey, come start at center without, you know, practicing pretty much. And, of course, the Pacers – like, James Wiseman started the game against the Grizzlies and was waived, like, 2 days later. And, you know, like, they haven't played those teams yet. They haven't gone
against
Houston.
I'm
going
to put Giannotto on blast. I want to acknowledge I did agree with him.
Yeah.
Do you realize there's a case to be made that James is the worst number two pick of all time, including Hashim Thabeet?
Ooh. What's the case here? Hashim Thabeet was...
Hashim, I think, hung around the league for like 13 seasons.
Did he?
Yeah.
He hung around that long? I mean, I know he didn't, you know, he didn't bounce right out of the league. Like
he was in the league through 14.
Uh-huh.
One, two, three, four.
I'm looking back.
Yeah.
He got 8 seasons.
He played 224 games.
And how many has James played?
Yeah.
And obviously, James has other, like, injuries.
The Achilles was.
Yeah,
was
like,
rough
I'm not.
Sure,
this is not a crap for Tiger fans out there. This is not a crap on James Wiseman thing, but it is kind of like, okay, that was tough.
Yeah.
He is still the best number two pick to be on this show, though.
He averaged 11 points and 5 rebounds as a rookie. Hashim never had those highs.
What are you talking about? Let's see.
Tobias never averaged more than 3 points a game.
Three and three doesn't get it done for you.
Come on,
but
man,
look at his turnover rate.
Oh, his turnover rate.
He was really good with the ball.
Hey, he didn't let him take the ball away. There's that.
Yeah, it's
that. I don't know, man. Hashim Thabeet.
Yeah,
that's.
And again, injuries obviously play a huge part of it.
Yeah.
On the Pacers thing, to be fair, they have like one actual guard available on their roster right now. In the Grizzlies game, another one got hurt.
And yeah.
I was working the Pacers broadcast, and they were like, oh, we have no one.
Yeah, I saw
a fun run last year.
Pascal Siakam was playing like point guard for them.
Right,
I was like, oh,
right.
My. This ain't,
they had a fun run.
They did. They did. But yeah, the
first quarter of game 7 was fun.
It was, man, that game was going to be so good. It was going to be a classic, man. It was when Tyrese hit those, I think it was 2 3-pointers-pointers, yep. I was like, oh, it's on now. Like, it's.
I mean, you can always forever hang your hat on when he came out of the game, we had the lead.
At halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you can't tell me you didn't.
Oh, no. Now the rest of it's. Now it's like dark and stormy. It's like, what? Yeah. That's a big one. Okay. Then the other question is.
Uh-huh.
Are we collectively as a city going to care about the cup now?
You know what? Because you said as a city, you phrased that way.
Correct.
I was out on the cup at first, and then it kind of grew on me year two. But as a city, I think so, because if you look at the group now, this is one of those situations before the season, we saw the group that the Grizzlies was in. It was like, anyways. You look at it now, I'm not saying they're going to win it, but they got the Mavs.
Yep.
They got the Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
The Clippers haven't looked fantastic.
Yeah, but they'll figure it out when they play the Grizz. We know that.
I mean, the Lakers just got Luka back for this game, but, you know, they're in Memphis.
No, I mean, George and I talked about when the groups came out.
Uh-huh.
Listen, was it the one I was like, that would be the first pick of the group that I'd want to be in? No. Uh-huh. But, like, it was basically, if there were three groups they could have been in,
yeah.
It was the middle choice for me. And it's like, okay. That's fine.
You dodge OKC, you dodge Golden State, you dodge Houston.
Yeah. Like, and to me, it's like, all right, overall, I do not care about the floors at all. I think a lot of them look horrible on TV. Like, I think they look terrible. But I'm also
like
not
a bunch of Boise States out there.
Yeah. No. I think it looks like a bunch of Eastern Michigans.
Eastern Washington?
Oh. No, Eastern Michigan.
Oh, it's
the gray one.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
the one
ooh.
Where you're like,
the gray one is nasty.
Listen, some heroes.
He said Eastern Michigan.
Some heroes might have had Ohio in their six-teamer on Saturday and had to turn over to CBS Sports Network at the noon window, and you had Eastern in their like grays, and Ohio was in their whites on the gray field.
They can wear gray on the gray
field. I didn't know they could do it either. I thought it was like surely they had to wear green uniforms. It was a tough watch. Like it was. It looked like when they had the broadcast looked like it was in standard definition, even though it was actually in high definition.
Yeah.
That was a tough watch.
Mm.
I think the thing that I have actually, because I was open to the idea, it's like, okay, yes, this is clearly a sellout made for TV, but I was open to the idea, it's like, all right, let me see the games first.
Yeah.
And then two things can be true. You could be selling out for money and it being truly just a money grab.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. If the basketball's good.
Yeah.
And for better or worse, most of these games feel different than early season, regular season.
Yeah, and that was the main goal, right? Early season, regular season basketball, it got to the point where people were starting to just get checked out.
Yes.
Wake me up when the playoff chase is here. And
yeah, we used to say, like, wake me up on Christmas Day, and now it's like, wake me up post All-Star break, like when we start to figure it out.
So you had to throw a little twist in there, which I didn't understand at first, but you know now I get it. And you know what I like, and I don't because I grew up playing baseball, right? And a lot of times, one of the main things I learned at a very young age playing baseball was all these unwritten rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't get taught them; you just learn them as you go over the course of the game.
You typically learn them when you break one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That way. And
I also never cared.
Yeah.
Don't bunt to break up a no-hitter. I'm a good bunter. What are you talking about? Yeah. Of course, if I can get on base. Absolutely. One for one in the stat line.
You're telling
me
I can't steal base because we're up 10 runs?
What?
That was never a problem for me. You play to win the game.
That was the great thing about catching.
Yeah.
I never had to run the bases. Ever. It's awesome.
My favorite broken unwritten rule as it pertains to this one is, You keep your starters in, and you're up 30 in the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah.
You're trying to win by 40. I like that.
Oh, yeah. No, and
I like it.
And then when you watch guys, now, for the gamblers out there, it can get tough.
It can get, because you don't know.
Well, it's like, I haven't figured out a system. Like, should we be playing more overs since people will try to run it up late? Like,
it hasn't really been like a clear.
I think probably the way to go about it would be, if you see a game that starts off with a slow pace, live bet the over, because late people are going to keep trying to score.
Yeah,
but I haven't seen anyone that's actually tried to like take advantage of it and come up with a system.
I think it'll really come to handy when you get to like that fourth group play game, and it's like this team has to win by 11 to advance. Like that's, I like that. That's an extra twist on things. Like you go into a game and it's like not only do you have to win, you got to beat them by 14 points.
Yep.
Like that's a cool twist.
Okay, so overall, I say, all right, I'm fine with the cup.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, anything else Grizzlies wise before we take a break, talk some football?
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, we know about the stretch they have coming up. Luka's back. You talk about Halloween. It gets a little spooky around here.
We also have, was it trick or treating in the plaza? Trick or treating in the plaza. So for all the heroes out there that are going to get to go, stay up late. God, tough night for parents.
Yeah,
they're staying up late. Sugar rushes.
It's probably gonna be a lot of costumes.
Yeah, gonna be a lot of costumes. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Blake Topmeyer joins the program. Then, of course, during hour number two, we will get into our thoughts on the weekend that it is with football. But let's talk about it with Blake next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before, T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
ESPN. Please now to welcome the USA Today Sports Network's senior national college football columnist. He's on X at B. Topmeyer. His podcast, SEC Football Unfiltered, available each and every week wherever you find your podcast. Joining us from BNA, Blake, I guess let's start here. How in would you be on the Apprentice LSU Football Edition?
Very in on that. Yeah. I mean, I say, you know, what started as a sort of kind of joke from Louisiana's Governor Jeff Landry to let Donald Trump hire the next coach. I mean, this thing's already jumped the rails. So why not? Let's do it. You know, let Donald Trump make the hire. No, it's settled down a little bit today with interim AD Virg Asbury seemingly taking control of the search, but this is just chaos where it wasn't needed. And I would have to think it creates at least a little bit of pause by potential candidates wondering, do I want to jump into this political circus that's going on in Louisiana right now?
I think that's actually the biggest question that I have, because I think oftentimes we can look at it from our perspective and think, who would want to be a part of that circus? But then sometimes coaches will just surprise you and be like, well, it's the LSU job. Like, I'll figure it out or whatnot. But I think to me, isn't that the big question is, how much is the vibes or climate around the job going to impact the candidacy?
I think that's totally right. And I think you're spot on. To some potential candidates, this won't matter. I think to other potential candidates, it could matter a great deal. Depends on what type of person you are. I mean, you hear coaches talk all the time about alignment. Well, the alignment at LSU right now is completely out of whack because you don't know who the president's going to be. That is a vacant position that's been held by an interim president for several months now. Scott Woodward, the AD, was thrown overboard by the governor this week. Now you have an interim AD who's a longtime athletic department official, but is that person going to be the permanent AD? I would think that's unlikely. You're probably going to bring in a new AD. And so if you're a coach that takes the job, you have to realize you're probably going to be working for ultimately an athletic director and a president who weren't involved in hiring you, which can create an uncomfortable situation on its best day, particularly if there are any struggles. I mean, if you go in there and you start winning 11, 12, 13 games every year, nobody's going to care and everything will be just peachy. But if, you know, at the slightest sign of trouble, you don't want to be in a situation where you're working for someone who wasn't the person that hired you. And you have this situation with the governor who has proven to be involved is one word. Others would call it very meddlesome, depending on your perspective. I mean, he picked a fight with Kim Mulkey in her basketball program last year because they're in the locker room and not on the court for the national anthem, and turned kind of a nothing burger into a whole big thing with Mulkey, and then inserted himself into firing Brian Kelly and firing the AD. So, yeah, I think you're right. It depends on the candidate. It depends how concerned are you with the fact that you don't really know who you're going to be working for there.
You and I were texting on Saturday night, and it's one of those firings that if I would have said at the beginning of the year, hey, LSU is going to fire Brian Kelly before Halloween, I think I probably would have been surprised. But it was one of those things where if you were watching the second half and you saw Tiger Stadium, I mean, I'd sent you, I was like, I don't know how he survives this. And lo and behold, he didn't survive it. But when you think about the shock, or how would you characterize what actually happened on Sunday at LSU?
I mean, I think chaos might be slightly overstating it, but it's probably in the ballpark, right? I mean, I'm not convinced that LSU went into that day planning to fire Brian Kelly. That's where it landed. But I don't know that, you know, Scott Woodward woke up on Sunday morning and said, I'm firing Brian Kelly today. It seems like it was still kind of in the air at that point, and it maybe wasn't going to land there until it did. And of course, you know, the governor was involved, and we've seen the reports that a meeting between Scott Woodward and Brian Kelly didn't go well. But the season turned on a dime, and you're right about the stadium emptying out. And we've been talking for weeks now how athletic departments, their ADs, like they're big vibes people, and you know, they don't always take like the 10,000 foot view, and maybe they shouldn't, or maybe they should, but they don't. They, you know, when a stadium empties out like that, and all that's left are Aggie fans, and you're getting blown out in your home stadium, it becomes very tempting very quickly to pull the plug. And the other thing that I think too, though, is like, even though Vanderbilt is a top 10 team and losing to them is not the great shame that it would have been years ago, it still conveys a certain weight, right? Like if you're an LSU donor, fan, whoever, in living in the state of Louisiana, losing to Vanderbilt doesn't sit well. So I actually think this was kind of a 1-2 punch. Like the tide started to turn. Losing to Vanderbilt, even though that was a competitive game and Vanderbilt's good, doesn't matter. LSU doesn't lose to Vanderbilt. And then you follow that up with getting blown out in the second half and your stadium's emptied out. And that's, I think it goes to show at jobs like these, that's how quickly it can turn, because, you know, it really wasn't the first loss that got Brian Kelly. Like, he was still fine then. It was these back-to-back punches, losing to Vanderbilt and then getting skunked by Texas A&M. That's all it takes now.
No, I think that's what's interesting to me, because on the one hand, we talk about it in terms of the football players on the field, there's no shame losing to Vanderbilt. But if you're LSU and sitting there going, well, why do they have a better football team than we do? Like, I can see where that weighs on you. But that's also where I admit, like, I'm asking the question, kind of. But there's this, I feel like there's this notion that this is the best available job. And I'm not saying that it's a bad job. But I do wonder, is it the same job it was 5 years ago? Because I still think the fan base goes, we've had three consecutive coaches until Brian Kelly that had won national titles. Two were morons. It's not that hard. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's true. But then I start to look at it in this landscape. It's like, do I think that they can max out to the level that an Ohio State can? No, I don't. And having the fertile recruiting base, I don't know what that matters. They lost the number one defensive lineman in the state to USC. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't know how much all this matters in this era. And so I really struggle with thinking, like, this is the unquestioned top number one job. You can't argue with it. Where do you see it?
I think it probably is the number one job. I think it's probably not, though, as clear-cut as it would have been 10 years ago. And I think that's kind of what you're getting
at.
Yes,
exactly.
I mean,
if this is 2018, hell yeah. This is the best job.
We're not even discussing this, right? We're not chewing up airtime with this question because it's a slam dunk. It's the best job. Now, and this is what you're getting at, there's at least the question of are we sure? I think it still is the best job. I don't think it's as good of a job, though, as it was in 2018 because of the money factor. You can put a bag of cash on the table now, openly, not under the table, on top of the table, and you can win recruiting battles. And, you know, up till this year, LSU was not competing like many of their peers in the cash space, not competing the way they should have been. Now, that can be fixed, ultimately, I believe. I mean, the owner of Raising Cane's is worth many, 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 many billions of dollars. So if he gets engaged, money shouldn't be a problem for LSU. But until this year, you know, they weren't spending the way that some other rivals were. And even if you do that now, it's not automatic that the kids in Louisiana are going to go to LSU just because they want to play for LSU, because everybody's got money now and everybody's spending money. And you might still get outbid even if you have money at LSU. So I think you're right. And I, you know, more and more, anytime somebody's referencing what happened 10, 15, 20 years ago, it's just like that barely matters anymore. You know, the fact that Nick Saban won a national championship there, to me, is completely irrelevant as to what this job is now. And so I still think it's a good job because, you know, if the money's the same, I think the tie goes to the in-state school. The LSU brand still has some pull. I think, like I said, if all things are being equal, I think most Louisiana kids would still prefer to go to LSU. But it's not the runaway that it once was. And the other thing I thought about, and I discussed this on the podcast this week, is you could make a case that for Lane Kiffin, you could make the case that Florida could be the better opportunity than LSU because does Lane want to get involved in this political quagmire? You know, does he want to deal with this? Maybe he does. Maybe he's one of those people that just looks at it and says, this has been a great job for the last 25 years. This is great. But he is used to having a pretty clear runway of autonomy and authority at Ole Miss. He is the monarch in Mississippi. I think it's very clear what's unfolded the last week, that the monarch in Louisiana is Jeff Landry. And do you want to deal with the politics of that? Maybe he's fine with it. If he doesn't, the alternatives are stay in a good situation at Ole Miss, or, you know, I think at Florida, it's not going to be political to the nature that it is in Louisiana. Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, can't play these types of politics because he has more than one big state university, right? He can't be doing these games.
Well, his office is not, you know, five minutes from campus.
That too. You're right. It's just incomparable, the politics of Louisiana. Really, I think anywhere in the country, Louisiana is very unique. The crossover between politics and the university and sports, it's all very muddy. And so, you know, it comes back to, as a coach, is the job good enough that you're willing to deal with that? And still a great job, but it's not the landslide that it was, you know, 10 years ago. I mean, 10 years ago, we would have said this is one of the top three jobs in the country, LSU. up there with Ohio State and somebody else. Take your pick. Now, is it a top three job? I don't know. I think it's top 10, top 12. Is it top three?
Well, I almost wonder if it's a lot like what we see on the field. I think maybe Ohio State has kind of separated itself from the field. And then I think what used to be good jobs, it's kind of flattened. Like I think the mushy middle has risen up. Like there's nothing structurally preventing Indiana, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss from being playoff caliber. Now, if we're talking about, like, I think there's an argument for when people want to make the Ole Miss case. I do think it's entirely possible that Lane is bumping up against the ceiling at Ole Miss. And do I think that maybe Florida and LSU potentially could have higher ceilings? Yes, but I don't know. It hasn't been proven in this era. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing is that these other jobs that were thought to be lesser are now much closer to these good jobs. And then when you consider the expectations of these good jobs, is that really what you want?
Yeah, and the other thing is I think Lane's probably bumping up against the ceiling, but I would also say you look at his team last year, and that should have been a playoff team. That could have been a Final Four team last year.
That team was as good as Notre Dame.
I agree with that. That team could have
been
their
best. Now the difference, the reason why Notre Dame was playing there is because Notre Dame was consistent.
Yeah, they laid one egg.
Yep.
and Ole Miss laid multiple ones.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean that's the whole argument is like, you know, is the when everybody's operating at their best, the ceiling probably is a little bit higher more often when they're operating at their best at LSU and Florida than it is at Ole Miss, but Ole Miss is closer to functioning at that level now. Now, I guess the argument to go would be, well, then maybe that's such a great credit to Lane that he could solve LSU and Florida at warp speed. And if that highest ceiling is potentially a little bit higher there, like I think we both think it is, well, then he can win a national championship at one of those schools. But that's all sort of like rosy thinking and thinking that, you know, Lane can just jump from one job to another and everything will be smooth sailing. It's very possible that would be the case, but I don't think it's an automatic. I mean, I think he's a good coach. I think he knows how to operate in this era, but there's no such thing as a gimme putt when you're jumping from one job to the other.
Well, and also like I think about it in terms of those places, is LSU going to ditch Mike the Tiger for juice? Is Alligator going to be ditched for juice? It's like, I don't know. Like, I don't think Lane does the politics thing well. Like, I think the reason why it works at Ole Miss is because he doesn't really have to go play all the golf with everybody. Like, everyone's just kind of happy to be there. And I don't know if that exists in that. But we got all the time in the world over the next few weeks to talk about that. Let's get to the actual games. Let's start with your former beat, not the game that you're actually covering. But let's start with Tennessee and Oklahoma. I've got a working theory. Oklahoma's not much different than they were last year. Prove me wrong.
Mm. Yeah, and you text me about this, and I didn't bite on that one. I think we got on different topics there. I think they're a better version, though, of
I think they
of
have
last
a slightly
year.
Better quarterback.
Yeah, they definitely have a better quarterback. Now, he's not as good as we were all anointing him in week two after they beat Michigan when this is the way it always happens, right? We're ready to hand somebody to Heisman in September, and then you know, by November, they're not even close to the conversation. So he's not that good, but he is an upgrade. I think their receivers are an upgrade partially because they're healthy. So I think they are a little bit better, particularly on offense, but I get your point. It's like a warmed up version of last year. On the other hand, I think Tennessee's worse than they were last season. And so I think Oklahoma's a bit better, definitely better at quarterback, not elite at quarterback, but better. And Tennessee, I think is a step down, but there was a time when I thought 9-3 Oklahoma might have a shot because of how tough that schedule is. I'm starting to cool on that idea. I think this is an elimination game for Oklahoma because they don't dazzle on the eye test. Like if they were just like this really great looking team and they wind up with three losses and you're like, well, that's a brutal schedule, but boy, they could be the best team in the country on a given day. Then I think you can get them in at 9-3, but that's not the way this team has looked. And so to me, that's an elimination game for both teams.
No, I think I'm with you there. I definitely think for Tennessee it is, because I just don't think there's going to be enough. Like, even beating Vanderbilt at the end of the season, like, I don't know. I just think you're just going to sit there and go, there's not much substance there. But speaking of Vanderbilt, the game that you are covering, can Vanderbilt finally put us out of our, do we really have to keep talking about Texas misery?
I think they can. I think the alternative is, and this is going to be wild, if Arch doesn't play, and I've been traveling, so correct me here, there's not a final ruling on that.
There's not a final ruling. The trends seem to indicate he's playing.
Okay. If he doesn't and Matthew Caldwell came out and played great, I mean, that would throw a powder keg on this whole deal. But, yeah, I think Vanderbilt can end the Texas charade. I think it's going to end at some point anyway. They are not going to get to the finish line walking this tightrope like they have against – I mean, if you're on the tightrope against Kentucky and Mississippi State – you're falling off that tightrope somewhere, and it might be this weekend. I mean, Vanderbilt could just shove them off. And I know I'm guilty of this too. Like, even though I know with my eyes Vanderbilt's good, like I still keep, because of the history and because it's Vanderbilt, I keep waiting for them to sort of crack a little bit. Not
well, and they did. Apart. They did not. I know they won and quote unquote covered last week. If you watched every snap of that game, they did not play well. And it had you going like, is this where this is headed?
Yeah, and I think Missouri is very fraudy. So, at some point I'm waiting for Vanderbilt to crack, but they're not going to go back to like 2020 Vanderbilt.
No.
You know, and so like even if there is some cracks in Vanderbilt, there's a lot of cracks in Texas. We've been seeing them week after week after week, and so I still think Vanderbilt can beat them. So yeah, this is the potential end of the road here for Texas, which just is going to uncork so many narratives. Like, do they need to shove Arch out and reevaluate things at quarterback next season? Do they need to shove Arch into the draft, which I don't know why he would do that. He needs to come back and play somewhere next year. Are they stuck with him because his last name's Manning? You know, with Steve Sarkisian.
Are they stuck with him? Because I don't really know. Do you know what the language of a contract is like that?
Well, that's a good, a fair point too. I do not know. You know, and then you have the Steve Sarkisian factor, who coming into this season I thought was a really good coach. I didn't really hold it against him that he lost in the semifinals to Ohio State last year.
I only held against him that he didn't run sneak four times.
Yeah, he had a very stupid play calling situation down there. But in the larger picture, I thought, hey, this guy's got, you know, Texas into the semifinals back-to-back years. He's got momentum. I think this is the guy Texas needs. And then this year they invest all this money and they go splat. And so that raises questions around that too. And the other thing here that I'm kind of loving seeing is just because you have the most money, it doesn't guarantee you the national title. Obviously you would rather have the money than be a pauper, but you know, the team with the highest payroll isn't necessarily the one hoisting the trophy at the end of the season, which I think is good for the sport, and it's also good for those coaches and evaluators out there that can say, hey, we might be playing with $5 million less than our peer, but we think we can evaluate and develop better than what they're doing over there, or maybe just assimilate. You know, sometimes we saw this before at Texas A&M years ago, you know, loading it up with the 4 and 5 stars that only care about the bag, you know, isn't always the formula for success. So yeah, there's a lot to tug on here with Texas. If this does unravel, which I think it's going to at some point, whether it's this weekend or not, I don't know, but very well could be this weekend.
It's going to end either at Georgia. It's either going to win this weekend at Georgia, or I think when A&M gets there, one of those teams is going to do it.
Yeah, and probably two of those. Yeah. Probably two of those teams. Yeah. They're probably finishing 8-4.
Yeah, I think it's more than fair. All right, right before we let you go, if we think back to last year, November's where these teams that thought they were playoff teams, like you get them into game pressure. Who do you think's in the most jeopardy this weekend of having the how the hell did they do that loss?
Ooh, that's a good one. Tell me some of the candidates here. I think
the Georgia Florida line's weird.
Okay.
Even though Georgia's kind of handled that series. I mean, listen, you can't ever rule out Ole Miss. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they play close games.
I think Ole Miss is going to win, but that spread is huge. And I'm like, every single time Ole Miss steps out there, it's a one possession game. And great, they're winning those games this year, whereas they dropped a couple they shouldn't have last year. And so that's the way this team is different. But I think Ole Miss is vulnerable to a loss at some point. One loss is probably not going to keep them out of the playoffs. I think they'll be in at 10-2. But you know, you look at the schedule and it's like they're not losing. But then I watch them in these one possession games every week, and it's like they're going to lose one of these. I don't know if it's this week or if it's against State in the Egg Bowl or somewhere along the line.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.